Every week, we have been discussing a range of topics which have the potential to impact on someone's mental health and well-being. A fully qualified counsellor, Carol Salter from Talking Minds Counselling, joins us to talk about those issues, and this week's could be very difficult for you. Before we start our discussion, it must just be said that this reflects Carol's thoughts and beliefs, and this feature should not replace professional counselling or other forms of help that might be needed. This week, we are talking about domestic abuse, and therefore there may be some material which you could find upsetting. Carol, thank you for joining me. Domestic abuse is often depicted in a load of stereotypes. It's not that easy, nor is it always that easy to recognise, is it? It can take all sorts of forms.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, thanks for inviting me back, Andy. It's I'm pleased to be talking about this subject, actually, because it's something that isn't often talked about. But I've got if I just sort of start by saying that domestic abuse, it's defined actually as an incident or a pattern of incidents of controlling, coercive, threatening, degrading, violent behaviour, including sexual violence. Mm-hmm. That's how domestic abuse is defined. It's one of those, a combination, and it could be all of those in a relationship. I'm going to sort of break that down now.
Yeah, I think it'd be a really good idea, actually, to sort of perhaps break that down a little bit further.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no problem. It could actually hit a nerve with people. They might actually feel that one of these subtopics, or there's a combination, or again, there's all of them, are actually, they're actually suffering, you know, suffering from with their partners. And if that is the case, then we need to make sure that you know that there's help, and we'll give some numbers or some charities that you can actually get in touch with if you find that you are, this, any of this is sort of making you stop and think. I think to start with as well, it's also really interesting that a lot of people don't know that they are in a domestic abuse relationship. It could, you know, some of the comments are, well, it's all marriages are like this.
So it's been normalized.
And I say marriages as well. This could also be men and women. So women are the abusers, and the men are the, we say, but well, they're not victims. We call people survivors. So it's not just women that are going through this. There are also a lot of men out there that are suffering from domestic abuse as well. The first thing that generally in a domestic abusive relationship, we have destructive criticism, verbal abuse, where you are constantly being called names, your appearance is being questioned, what you look like, whether you're too thin, you're too fat, and this destructive criticism actually starts to begin to eat away, because you're constantly then looking at yourself, thinking where am I, what am I looking like, and that can have a big impact. Then come the pressure tactics, you know, where the perpetrator or, you know, the abuser is then starts the sulking, threatening. Big one is withholding money, and this is one where you are given an allowance and you have to then bring back receipts to show that the money that you've been given has been used on household, on the things that are for the household and nothing for yourself. The other one is disrespect. Now, it sounds quite sort of, well, you know, perhaps we've all done a bit of that, but you're putting down that person. Also, when they're talking, you know, the victim, I'm going to say the victim, okay, when the victim is talking to the abuser, they're not responding. It's like they are worth nothing, that they're not worth listening to, and they're actually being told, stop talking. Our next level is then trust, where the abuser is very, very jealous, very jealous. If they see you talking to another person, and again, if it's sort of the opposite sex, that actually can cause major problems when you get back home. And having sort of friendships, they try and stop those friendships by either having a relationship with those friends and taking those friends away by actually feeding them information that actually it is the victim that is the problem and not them. People who are actually abusers are actually can be very charismatic people and can come across as quite, you know, quite charming.
I mean, is that something that happens a lot, where there's almost it's two personas, and so people outside the household wouldn't just have no concept of what's going on.
No, I think, you know, you're absolutely right. I think it wouldn't take long to work out what was going on because of the way the victim is acting, because they generally are on tenterhooks as to what they say, don't say, because anything that is said could then come back later on that evening or that day or the next day by, you know, them being a victim of, you know, abuse by, you know, threats or being harmed. And a big one is preventing them from seeing family, because obviously the family will generally be saying, why are you with this person? Get out of the situation. So the abuser generally does not want them mixing with family at all. Another one is harassment. Being followed, you know, they're checking up. They have your phone tagged so that they know where you're going. Why, you know, they can question then why were you at that shop? Why were you in that road? You ask me before you go to any of those places. So there's that. And also embarrassing them in public. The other side of that is where they are absolutely have lost it, and they are screaming and shouting almost like nose to nose. And that is in public. And it is the humiliation of being called some awful things in front of a crowded place.
Well, and you know what I'm finding fascinating is that you're giving all these ways in which this can play out, and yet we haven't yet reached the stereotype of the physical beatings and the violence, and that is almost a stereotype, isn't it? You know, and yet it's so much more nuanced than that.
The other couple that generally are the physical ones, where this is one that we always assume with domestic abuse, is where they're you know, they're being physically punched, slapped, hair being pulled, you know, not really just being knocked around, which is you know, again, something that we've always seen in domestic abuse, you know, when you sort of look back. But nowadays, as we've found already, there is so many other things that go on, that the, you know, the psychological abuse that people get, as well as the physical. So and then the last one is the sexual violence, where you're having sex when you don't want it, you're being forced to have sex with other people, which is again, you know, it's so degrading for that person, where they cannot say I am not doing that, because they are in a very volatile position, or they have been given drugs, which actually sort of almost like blacks them out in a sense where, mm-hmm. you know, they are then used and abused.
And I mean, I'm going to ask a question, which I know there's a jolly good answer to this, but I'm going to ask it for those who perhaps need me to ask this question. If someone is in such a dreadful situation, why don't they just leave?
Yeah. And we all wish that they could and would, but it is not as easy as that. If you have been constantly told that you are no good and you have no money and you have children, but even if you haven't got children, but, you know, that just adds another sort of dimension to it, and you haven't got family support, and you have been conditioned to being told that you are worth nothing, then it is very, very difficult to just up and go, especially if you, like I said, you haven't got any of the support to actually say, right, I'm leaving. The other problem as well is generally the abuser will actually come after the woman to bring them back, to say it will never happen again. I'm sorry, you know, and of course it just repeats the cycle over and over. We don't have enough facilities for women to go to. I mean, we have these refuges, which is fantastic, but there are just not enough of them to help a lot of these women. And they say on average it takes a victim to actually leave 7 times before they actually eventually leave for good.
There's a question that's just come into my head, and from a counselling perspective, and I know you don't talk about your clients, but a general perspective, I can understand that you will be having victims or survivors of domestic abuse needing to talk the whole thing through and seek that support. But I wonder, do you ever find that perpetrators seek counselling?
Generally not, unless they're being told to by a court.
Right, that's interesting.
Because they're not in the wrong, it's not their problem.
Right.
It's the partner's problem, and they don't see that their behaviour is actually anything but normal.
It's interesting. This is a topic that people didn't talk about until relatively recently, and I know there's been some changes in various laws, and there's been some quite high profile moments. There's been some television presenters who have come out, for want of a better expression, to say they've been subjected to domestic abuse, and there's been court cases. And I know that a number of the long-running dramas on television and on radio, The Archers particularly, have had made, you know, significant input into this in terms of their storytelling, and it's really really interesting. It's really powerful.
It was actually, I do remember that story, and in fact I can remember actually going, oh, it just sent shivers up my back actually just listening to that particular storyline.
I want to say what help it is out there, but I think the first thing to say is if you are suffering domestic abuse, there is help out there, not just to stop it, but to help you move on and make a better life, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. And I think if you're suffering with domestic abuse, again, we have so many amazing charities out there that are there for you, and for men and for women and for children, you know. So we have, there's charities that where you're still in the situation and you need support on how to cope and how to plan to get yourself away from this situation. And then you have other charities one that I used to be with, Future Living in Hartford, where they actually have programs where if you are not with your abuser anymore, then you can join their programs where they run for about 12 weeks and you are in a group situation with other people, that other women, I have to say on this occasion, you are with other women who have also just come out of an abusive relationship, and they offer lots of help and support, and it's great to be with other people who understand what you've been through. And then obviously then you can, they have all these charities again have counselling again that they can offer, some of it free, some of it very low cost.
And what if someone listening suspects or is even aware that a friend of theirs or a relative is suffering domestic abuse? They want to help, but they don't know what to do. What could they do?
Well, I actually think if that is the case, it's actually being able to talk to that person outside of the home. So even if it's, again, it's meeting, you know, arranging to meet in even something like the supermarket. This sounds so dramatic, but this is where, you know, some people have to get to, you know, to have somewhere where it's not, it doesn't seem obvious that they're meeting up with anyone. Because again, there's that control again from the abuser, you know, where are you going? Why are you going? But it could be that the friend could actually, first of all, just talk and say, do you know that this is a domestic abuse, or that you are suffering from domestic abuse, and that I am here for you? And I think knowing that they have got someone who they can call on or talk to, or someone who is aware of what is going on behind the closed doors, can make a big, big difference. And I think also reassuring that person that they are a good person, that it's, and so that they're not, they've been indoctrinated that they are, you know, don't look good, they are stupid, all the things that are being said to them at home. But actually, if the friend is starting to just, you know, just to give that confidence and say, no, this, that isn't the situation, you know, you are a good person, you are a good mum, etc., then that can start to build some confidence, which hopefully, you know, could lead to them wanting to do something and getting out. And obviously, I have to say that if there is physical violence, then that has to be taken further. You know, there is a safeguarding thing where you have got to report it to. I would start with the police. And the police can actually do calls, safety calls, where they can just knock and just say, we are here to check that everyone in the house is okay.
So you mentioned earlier on some charities who might be able to support. Can you just give us an idea of what charities they might be?
I definitely have a look at the Women's Aid website. Again, they've got some great information and you know, lots of support that they could give you. Also, Hertfordshire Domestic Abuse Helpline is another one. It's worth, you know, again, having a look at the website and, you know, having a chat to them. And obviously, you know, again, I mentioned the Future Living one in Hertford. But I, you know, Women's Aid, again, is a great website, and hopefully it will give people lots of sort of information just to get them started, really.
Great. Well, Carol, thank you very much for helping us navigate this really quite difficult topic.
No, not at all. I said thank you. Yeah, I hope it helps.